I've come to help. Listen to me.
You help me?
R-E-L-A-X. That spells something. This is going to be a true 5-minute pod, not all the jokes about a 5-minute pod. Although, truthfully, the only way I can actually make it 5 minutes is if I do the mumble into my phone thing. I just really don't like to do this. But we asked for some questions. We're just going to answer the questions, and that's it. And this be like a little nugget, little morsel of things. And, I mean, really, how much can you complain, right? Although, I do think they'll be, look, I'm already digressing. Just let's read these questions. B. Harms, Brian Harmon, coming for the Pelly Pell belt as far as questions. We got multiple questions from the same guy. We certainly endorse that effort. This is a whopper of a question, though. When will Bucks fans relax about how Giannis plays in the regular season? Now, implied in that question is the implied sentiment that you think that people are tripping. And this always, I can always be wrong, but whether we're talking about Chris or going back to Jabari or going back to any dumb argument we've had for 10 years, the people who complain about the complainers are actually the complainers. To me, there's nothing that some nerd loves on Bucks Twitter more than to complain about somebody else complaining. You know, I am the true believer. You lack faith in Giannis. I smite thee for your lack of faith. And it's like, what are we doing? I enjoyed. So my engagement on Twitter, for whatever reason, is turned way down, except for during games. I have dipped my toe now into lurking on the Reddits. And Real GM continues to be a joke with the leadership there. But it there's always good conversation there. For those who are on one or all of the three, just understand that all the conversations are exactly the same. They're exactly the same. How could you say that about Giannis? How could you say that? He's done so much for us. And I guess this question was asked after the last game that we played, which the Wizards, which I didn't watch because I don't watch. I'm not watching whack games anymore, I don't think. So, plus I was busy. It was Sunday night, I was busy, but I don't know. Maybe there's a question about triple double gate. It just matters, man. It just matters, right? And I think here's the thing. If you're being fair, right? Like, I can't imagine. So the Bucks lost to James Harden, and there's a question about James Harden. I can't think of any redeeming qualities about James Harden, right? Even his little mouth beard, like the opening on his beard is weird. There's just nothing you can say about James Harden. I guess I'll say he's a griff craftsman. Like, and I'm going to say something nice about him. Among all the garbage, Lowry, Smart, Draymond, like name all the grifters, him and Chris Paul are the only ones who are really good at basketball. Like also, unless I'm forgetting someone. Well, I guess LeBron James, right? The question everyone has to ask themselves, and I'm not telling you you're wrong. If people say, well, here's what I'll say. If people want to say relax because they have a full understanding of basketball and the recent history of basketball as much as they can comprehend, and they're saying relax because I, person X, have a sense of these things, and we know that they're really going to try during the playoffs, and blah, 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 fine. I just feel like a lot of people are just saying relax because they feel like we're making him do this stuff. It was an awful fourth quarter. Like gun to my head, was he worse than Chris in that fourth quarter? And Chris was selling. Chris was just awful, but stupid, right? I think if you don't want to hear people call Giannis stupid, I can relate and understand. He's a stupid basketball player. Or it's the Jekyll and Hyde thing. Like, maybe Jekyll's kind of smart, but Hyde is a, pardon my French, a nincompoop, right? So I don't know if they should relax, because again, I think 10 episodes ago we were saying, like, you guys don't understand the rarefied air that he's in. Like, Karl Malone, forget the other Karl Malone stuff. Karl Malone at this point is underrated. But he had a chink in his armor that everyone could readily identify, which is not so much that he was a choker, but he didn't come through in the clutch. And people built from that molehill a mountain of criticism. Like, Dirk had a mountain of criticism. People had these, like, the accumulated career of Garnett started to build that up. And people, I just don't think, grasp how bad the air balls look and how bad the brain farts make him look. So, I still think we're going to win the title, guys, but I don't think people should relax. But again, we're just going to fight about this because people don't understand this, but I think there are people who are willfully not understanding this to get their outrage endorphin hit. And that's to say nothing of, like, the people who are just idiots, the Bucks after darks of the world. Bottom five. Number one is Bucks After Dark. Bucks After Dark, that Jay Wills guy. But just people who don't know their head from a hole in the ground. And if you don't know your head from a hole in the ground, then maybe you shouldn't relax. Right, like, I can't do anything about that. Ben Miller, MKE, what would you trade to get Eddie? Ude? That's the big center, right? I think somebody said he looked like Goliath on a pack of Bible trading cards or something like that. Not much, but that I am not at all initiated in the college basketball anymore. I think we know that I'm aware of the Bob Ryan controversy. But maybe he's just a stiff. I don't know. I don't like, and again, this goes to the whole thing. I said many controversial things in the group chat. I don't really root for tall players, man. I don't root for anybody taller than 7'1". Like, it's kind of an abomination to me. Like, I'm not excited by just aesthetically. Like, I'm more here for, like, the King Kong versus the who's a long monster. It's probably not the best analogy. I don't like long stiffs. You know, but like, I wasn't like when I wasn't a Manute Bol fan when what's his name was making movies with Billy Crystal. Like, it's fine, right? The giant that the Clippers had. It's fine. It's not my favorite thing. Jimmy Cracks Corn. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does it bother you that Jimmy Boy Harden pulled off a comeback win to stop the streak? Well, it didn't bother me that much today. It certainly bothered me Saturday night. But to read that in plain English, yeah, man, that's no good. It's no good. They had some money shots, though. I mean, those were big shots, you know. And Chris is going to go under the screen. Like, it's so funny, right? What is Frank Madden talking about? So I broke my moratorium on regular season post-game Bucks recaps. And they hunted Chris Middleton that entire fourth quarter, man. Like, I'm telling my son, like, we're up 18 and we're laughing and eating popcorn and doing push-ups and whatever else. They put Middleton that game. Like, the lead went down to 10 points immediately. Like, he couldn't stand in front of anyone. And it's always weird to me the games where people see stuff. And so people pointed to the end of the game stuff. It's like, no, they were he's left-handed, right? Isn't he left-handed? He was blown by him going left, and he was basically like looking around like, you know, like the DB who's like, oh, the safety was supposed to get him, you know, like hey, who didn't pick him up in, you know, in the cover two, and it looked really bad. However, again, optimism on this whole thing. I really, really, really need people to understand this, because this can work. But Budenholzer is such an idiot. And this is one of my favorite takes, because this is just the most basic thing. Like, again, I don't know what is Frank talking about? Like, people are still talking about, what are we going to do if we can't ramp him up to 35 minutes? The year is 2023. I want you to imagine this, because here's the thing. So imagine the game going exactly the same way. Okay. Imagine the game going exactly the same way, and imagine him and Giannis were leaving that one guy open for no reason, just standing ball watching and then running late. We can certainly criticize Giannis for not blocking out. We can certainly criticize Giannis for fouling a guy on a three at the KJ. They were like neck and neck for dumb stuff in the same kind of way that a lot of times is Drew and Chris. But imagine the game goes exactly the same way Chris does, all the same defensive ineptitude. And then the end of the game, he hits that turnaround three. He hits two free throws. He hits a two. Okay? And the Bucks win. And it's legendary, and all the same idiots are, like, putting up, you know, the idiots and nice people, you know, and Justin and them, he's Moist Jordan, all this stuff, all this nonsense. Had the game gone that way, that's a way the Bucks can win. But I'm not sure that Budenholzer is smart enough to let the Bucks win that way. Because there's at the end of a game, which is why he should always get a look, there's still a 1-in-3 chance that he can get off, right? But he's clearly hurt. Like, what are we doing? Like, that money. Remember, where are all the nerds? Where's Ben Thompson? Where's the sunk cost fallacy guys? Don't you know it's a sunk cost? It's a sunk cost fallacy. It's a sunk cost. Right? I think he's opting in, and then that's it. But either way, so he's an old guy. Like, what is this thing? Like, what is this imagined version of Chris that people are still thinking of? Sporadic. Because the thing is, like, have we seen, so the shots that he didn't make at the end, which is only, I think, one or two, right? He's just awful offensively and defensively. But, like, we've seen Bobby make those shots. We've certainly seen Drew make those shots. We have these big games where Giannis is all of a sudden making fadeaways and making three-pointers. Like, you can go right, certainly Brooke Lopez. If we can big up Chris for the 21 finals, we can certainly, like, would it surprise anybody if Pat is awful all year and gets going? And certainly Grayson was incredible. But Chris Middleton is so bad on defense that they're hunting Chris Middleton and not Grayson Allen, and we just all need to admit that. So again, gentlemen, that's fine. I'm starting to really feel bad for the guy. What is Bud doing, thinking, like, pulling him for 2 minutes in the fourth quarter and just running him into the ground? That's not going to work. And this still wasn't a playoff atmosphere. What do you think happens in the playoffs every single year? 40% Chris Middleton comes out, right? So I really see the title. I think this is our title to lose, but this idiot has to get smart. So why is... again, I don't want to talk to people too much. The dumbest tweet I read all last year was, I think it was this guy, Jay Wills or whatever, saying, I could look it up, but essentially, people don't appreciate our locker room enough. Remember how bad the Bucks were with Anthony Mason, but we don't have to worry about that because the coach Budenholzer and casuals need to understand that. It's like the dumb... It's like, seriously, can you imagine fixing your mouth to say no one can handle Anthony Mason in the history of the world, but Mike Budenholzer would do that? What's even the rationale? Where's the logic in that? Like, the mind boggles at just the idea of that, but the lack of awareness and understanding of these people. So people respond to their incentives, right? So we did get the quite revealing So Porta starts out hot, right? And then I don't know why they actually let us see Porta saying, "Why'd you take me out of the game?" to Bud. And it was mostly kind of friendly vibe. Mostly kind of friendly vibe, but he's like, "Well, Grayson's so hot," and Grayson was white hot, so you got to live Grayson in, right? But imagine you're Portis. Just imagine yourself as Portis, because again, I think Giannis is such a spin freak, just as far as like his sense of, he almost always does the right thing when he's not like trying to get a rebound for no reason at the end, which Marcus and everyone else says. But what breeds selfishness, what breeds a selfish culture, is people doing stuff like that. And then when people do stuff like that, then all of a sudden Portis is like, "Chris Middleton is cooked. I could have made those shots. You didn't call that for me. It's really not that this dude is better than us. It's opportunities." And he'd be sort of right and sort of wrong, right? Remember, like, what the crazy Javon Carter game, whatever the game was, and it was like 31 and 15 assists or something crazy like that, and it hadn't happened that much in 20 years of Bucks basketball or whatever it was. If that was Chris, it would have meant something, right? All of these guys are capable of getting off. I've been reading this Phil Jackson book. Oh, sorry, 5-minute episode. So let me stop there. But so what breeds selfishness is selfishness, right? This is a great thing about Bird and Magic, right? And this goes back to the leadership of the league. When you have people coming in and being like, "Hey, the selfish era is over. Here comes the unselfish era of basketball." That trickles down in the same way that like people just going out for Dolo like trickles down. And so I don't know if that answers that question, but yes, it really bothers me that with 45 seconds left and the Bucks up by 2 or up by 1, Chris Middleton decided to run by Embiid and try to bucket hang so he could get the baseball pass if it was a long rebound. Because that's all he can do right now. And as someone who would know, when you don't have it no more on the court, the first thing you do is stop playing defense and start trying to leak out for free layups. So it is what it is. We're still winning the title. Let's see here. There he is. Pelly Pell asks, "Did Giannis make basketball less beautiful last night?" Didn't watch. But it's a bad look. And it was only... There's a reason that baseball has unwritten rules, right? If you've listened to any platform, I don't care if you listen to ESPN radio, local radio, local TV, just dudes on a barbershop, dudes in a corner. To the extent that anybody talks about baseball, people have been talking about the unwritten rules of baseball this entire time. And critically, and me too, right? "Well, this is dumb. Oh, they're going to throw at him because he did this. He threw the bat and it's unacceptable. Now we're going to hit the next guy." All this stuff, right? Say what you would about it. It's a structure. It's an ethos, right? It's structure. And if there is no structure, and if you're not scared of somebody like taking a chair and hitting you the back of the head for disrespecting him that much, then yeah, it doesn't matter, right? And they took the rebound away anyway, but it's just, this goes back to the LeBron thing. LeBron never fully understood his brand because he was trying to be all things to all people. I don't think Giannis has given us so much, but I don't think he really understands his brand, and his brand is being above that kind of stuff. Like Kendrick Perkins pulled the racial ripcord the other day. Well, he's selling a book, right? Everyone's motivated by these other financial aspects. Everybody's doing this other stuff. And being above the fray, and yes, I'm saying this in a week where the Morant stuff really popped off, but it's not good, man. He didn't need to do it. And I think less of him for doing it. Just flat out. Let's see here. Yeah, last question, 5 minutes. And then B Harms again, second question. "Does ESPN help or hurt the NBA? If it hurts, what would I replace it with? Heard interesting take that NBA should do more like F1 with Netflix." I'm not sure what F1 with Netflix means. But is it not a reality show, but is it like an ongoing running doc? Is that kind of the thing that it was doing? Almost like, was it called The Contender? I think MMA did this later. I don't watch MMA and I don't watch boxing anymore, just full disclosure. But like, there was a point where Stallone and Sugar Ray Leonard were like, boxing is boring, but we're going to do like The Apprentice for boxers, and we're going to just have edited summaries of fights. So if it's like a 3-minute round, they'd show the best 45 seconds with the kind of Hans Zimmery sounding music. ESPN is a net neutral, I guess, with ESPN. Because here's the only thing. I feel like, even if as I start to say that the basketball is more generational, I check swing on that, because baseball is still probably the most generational. Here's the dynamic, though, that I don't... There's an old man, young man dynamic with basketball that is a chasm that should not really be bridged, right? But it is better if it's like black guys criticizing the players. It can't all be Bob Ryan. So the reason that Barkley is so invaluable is because you need... And Shaq. Shaq's kind of become more old man yells at cloud than kind of all of them, depending on the night. But ESPN is clearly inferior to TNT, but what you kind of need... Or what is... I don't even say what you need. What has worked for them is having players be like old disapproving uncles. And then at least if you disapprove of Ja Morant or Harden or Chris Paul or the flopping or people or certainly... I mean, KD, any of these guys, then at least you have someone saying, I don't like it, right? And if the younger generation feels like, well, if somebody like Draymond claps back, that's better or not better or whatever else. But it's a dicey kind of thing, but that's the way that they've been able to not make so many of the unlikable players more palatable. Because there's a lot of likable players, but they're not necessarily the stars all the time, right? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, Luka, Booker, kind of both fives, right? Like Durant's kind of like a 5 or 6, but if he wasn't that good, I mean, he'd be kind of like a 2. Like Durant can't even brush his hair, like can't even get his hair cut. Like, I guess the question was about ESPN, right? And I wasn't gonna go any far. So optimism abounds. But I'm going to tell you, through the next weeks and into the playoffs, I just really think a good coach would have had this figured out by now, and I have no confidence at all. Because, again, here's the thing, too. We know what Crowder's about. Like, we win that game with defense. And the question is, and I don't really want this to be a Chris episode because it's not so much about Chris. Like, if we had never had Chris, right? And it's like, hey, man, you know, these new owners, they went into the tax to acquire this broken-down guy. Hey, I heard he was pretty good. So every fourth playoff run, he's pretty good. We'd be like, oh, okay, we got like half of Joe Johnson coming for the team. Great. And we'd be like, great, right? I mean, it's not exactly the same thing as picking up what's-his-name in 2019 as picking up Mirotic. But, like, you'd be like, oh, wow, we got another gunner. That's great. And we wouldn't expect too much from him. Like, if somehow we traded Chris Middleton to the Lakers at the break, forget who we got. I don't feel like, I guess it's Darvin, but like, I don't feel like they'd be asking him to do all the stuff that we keep waiting for him to do. And either they're trying to hook him up with the contract, which is dumb, or it's all on him, which is, I guess, worse. But like, I don't know if any other team would be expecting... I feel like other teams would be like, well, we looked at his stats. He was never that good, but he's a solid player. We think we can help him to pick his spots, right? Like when the Celtics got Ray Allen, like the third and fourth year, and then we went to the Heat, like they still weren't asking him to be 2001 Ray Allen. Like, what are the Bucks doing? So my eyes are on Budenholzer at this point, because Crowder is still a malcontent, right? Like, we're happy that he's a malcontent. Like, I don't know these people who like get warm and fuzzy feelings about we having a good locker room. Like, who cares? Like, I don't really care if Pat Connaughton is friends with Giannis. I want him to make some shots already. And one malcontent is the problem, but, like, I'd be kind of mad at this point if I was Porter. So we got all these guys playing really well. Like, Brook Lopez, all I'm saying is a good coach should figure this out by now. And if we have a big lead, there's a real question as to whether we should be making substitutions based on defense, because defense wins in the playoffs. And I mean, again, if you're Javon Carter and you come in and it's a big playoff game and you hit 2 out of 3 shots and 2 threes, do you want to come out just because Budenholzer just like has the like playbook written on a napkin? Are you going to be cool with that? Maybe if we win, are you going to be cool with that if we lose? And he let like Connaughton go 1 for 7. That's how chemistry, like, people want to win, man. Like, that's how chemistry problems come out. Like, everybody's like motivated. They want to be the reason to win. But like, if there's this love train, I just don't think there's a love train anymore. Like, Chris is broken and we brought in Jay Crowder. So that's all I have to say about that. Have a good night.
Packers sure hope Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to come back.